Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on Hot 1027, and it is so good to be back with you again this morning. I hope that you're all well. I've had a really good week and a very interesting day yesterday when I went to a primary school to present a talk. I just had to introduce it, in fact, on spirituality in the home for the primary school parents. And I started with a movie that I hadn't thought of for ages. And I wonder if you remember this movie, Runaway Bride. It's got my two favorite actors in it, Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. Julia Roberts is Maggie, Richard Gere is Ike. And Ike is an investigative reporter who's gone to see why Maggie keeps running away at the altar. And so he goes through a series of interviews with her ex-fiancés. And he does ask them all one question, which on the surface seems odd, but is actually a very profound question. He asks them how she liked her ex. And each one gives him a different answer, although they end with the same words. So the one says, she liked them scrambled, just like me. The other, she liked them fried, just like me. Or she liked them poached, just like me. And the bottom line is that he comes to the conclusion that she doesn't have a clue who she is or what she actually likes. And that's part of the reason why she keeps running away. And so when they have a confrontation, because he defends her in front of her family, he says to her, you don't even know how you like your ex. You have no idea who you are. You don't know your own mind. And this is something that's very important. And the reason I used it with the primary school parents is it's important for the children to know who they are spiritually. And I'm not talking here just about religion, but I'm talking about knowing that they are spiritual beings connected to something bigger. I think it's really important as a part of their identification. Now, on one level, if we were to ask who we are, and I'm not talking here from Christian perspective yet, we are not our names. We know that. I could change my name today and I would still be me. I'm not what I look like because I can change what I look like today, and we do throughout our lives actually change what we look like, and we still us. I'm still me. We could change our jobs, change our car, change where we live. None of that makes us who we are. Who we are is probably, and I would agree with some of the mystics and so on, we are probably that person who, that being, that soul that is observing all those things. Because all those things are external, they're not really who we are. And of course, from a Christian perspective, then I would say that we are spiritual beings having this human experience, that we are children of God, co-heirs with Christ, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are one with God. And therefore, it's so important for that big I, the God in us, to get bigger as the small I diminishes as we journey through this life. So for me, that's who we are. As a Christian, I believe that we are really children of the Most High God, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we are co-heirs with Jesus, brothers and sisters, as Jesus called us in the Bible. So if we go on now to Matthew 16, Jesus asks his disciples two questions. He asks them, who do people say I am? And then he says, and who do you say I am? Now, with regard to the people, they answer him, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But when they asked, who do they say he is? It's Simon Peter who answers, and Simon Peter answers correctly. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't you love that? The living God. The God we serve is definitely a living God, part and parcel of our everyday life, empowering us to live this life to the full. So Jesus says to him, yes, you're quite right, and on you I'm going to build my church, but you mustn't tell anyone. So Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'm going to stress again, our God is a living God, part of our daily lives, part of every part of our being. And maybe for Peter and the other disciples, this might have been the first time that they had put it in words, that you are the Son of the living God, you are the Christ. Up until then, they had seen him perform miracles, they had listened to him preach, they had seen him perform exorcisms, they had seen him do amazing things. So he was a prophet, he was a healer, he was a teacher. But maybe for the first time in their lives, they recognize this is actually the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is the Christ. And it must have been quite a profound moment for Peter to say it. I know sometimes we think things, but when we say them, we concretize them. They become real. And so, I don't know for you, but I can remember the first time that I really knew that Jesus was God. And it was when I was very young, fortunately for me. But I wonder about you. If you ever think about when did you know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what has that meant for you and how has that impacted your life? As you think about that, coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, Jesus, name above all names.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Jesus, name above all names on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. And I've been looking this morning at who we are and who Jesus is and Peter's response to Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So as Peter has just told Jesus this, we are told that Jesus then tells the disciples not to tell anyone. We call this the messianic secret. And there have been a whole lot of theories as to why Jesus would say, don't tell anyone. After all, surely it would have helped him if they had gone around and said, this is the Messiah. Would that not have helped him? And I think one of the reasons for me, Jesus says, don't tell anyone, is because it would have hampered his work. There would have been even more people coming and he wouldn't have been able to do the work that he was asked to do. And I think as a Christian, actually, it is so important for us to discern what it is God is calling us to do and to do it and not allow other distractions to come in. I know for myself, there are always multiple options in a day of what I can do. There are people asking me to do different things. And I have to be very careful to discern that I do what God asks, because you can't spread yourself too thin. You wouldn't be able to do the work that you're called to do, and you wouldn't do it properly. And so here we have Jesus, I think, saying, don't tell anyone, because he wants to be able to do the work. But soon after this now, he begins to prepare the disciples for his death and resurrection. Now you can imagine if you were one of the disciples. You've been with this person for 3 years. You've given up everything for this person. You know now, without doubt, that he's truly the Son of the God, Son of the living God. He is the Christ. And then he starts saying to you, well, we're going to go to Jerusalem, where I'm going to suffer many things, and then I'm going to die, I'm going to be killed, and on the third day I will rise again. I think, from my human perspective, if I had been one of those disciples, I would have said to him, let's not go to Jerusalem. Let's avoid it. Why must this happen? And so I don't feel that Peter was wrong to say to him, come aside a little bit, Jesus. I just want to speak to you. And then he says to him, never. We're not going to let this happen. Jesus' response is quite harsh, but I'm going to put it in perspective. So Jesus says to him, you know, get behind me, Satan. And it's quite shocking. Because he's just told Peter that he's right, and now suddenly Peter is in the wrong. And he says to Peter, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And Peter must have been devastated by these words from his teacher. Get behind me, Satan, is very harsh, especially as we've just been talking about who we are. And Peter definitely wasn't Satan. But I think when we look at it from Jesus' perspective, he wasn't trying to destroy Peter or to be hurtful. I feel he was responding in this way because obviously the humanness of Jesus, Jesus' humanity, didn't want to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. So the temptation was not to do that. And Peter was adding to that temptation. And I don't know if you've ever had people do that to you, where you know something's wrong, but people say, oh no, it's right, you must do it. And because other people have said you should do it, then you think, well, then it must be okay. But you actually know in your heart of heart it's wrong. And I think Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew he needed to go to Jerusalem. He knew he needed to die and rise, and he would rise again in 3 days. He knew he would go through suffering, and we know he didn't want to. He said to God, take this cup from me. But no matter how tough it gets, Jesus knew what he had to do. But Peter was tempting him to do something else. And I think that's why he says to Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God, but you have the things of man in mind. Now, as I've grown with God, I think more and more I've come to realize I don't know the whole picture. So Peter is definitely not trying to hurt Jesus either. And he is not hearing that Jesus is going to rise in 3 days. I think that's very clear. After the crucifixion, we see that. So he's not hearing the whole picture, but from his perspective, all he's trying to do is protect Jesus and stop this from happening. Now, as I said, as I've grown in my faith and as I've grown in maturity, I've learned that I don't know the whole picture. I can't see the whole picture. And so when people tell me, for example, they're moving to the coast to retire, I don't say, oh, that's fantastic, wonderful, that's the right thing to do. I might say, I'm really happy for you, and if that's what you want to do, that's great. But I'm now very, very reluctant to say, that is the right thing to do. because I don't know the right thing to do unless I've prayed into it and discerned with God and I'm convicted in my spirit that that's the right thing to do. And so I find more and more when people tell me that they're doing different things, I will say, that's great, I will pray for you. But I've stopped saying, I think that's 100% right. Because only God knows if it's right. And if I haven't prayed into it and discerned, then how do I know it's right? So Peter's response was an emotional response. It was a quick response. No, Jesus, we can't let that happen. I don't want to see you suffering, and you certainly can't be killed. And yet that was the will of God, was that that happened. And so for you and I, as we journey through this life, I think more and more we need to ask God for that discernment. It's what I pray for each and every day. God, please give me the discernment. Discernment to know what I should be doing. Discernment to know what I should say to other people. Discernment in every part of my life so that I'm living it according to your will. Now, it's just another reason, I think, why we need to be people of prayer and people of discernment, as I said, all the time, relying on God, waiting on God for answers, and being very careful when we give advice and being careful of whose advice we follow. Coming up next on the Mighty Hot 1027, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it's wonderful to be with you. This morning we've been looking at Peter's confession in Matthew 16, and Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and I'm stressing the living part of God. We've looked at Jesus' teaching on his death and Peter's response to Jesus, saying, "No, no, we can never let this happen," and Jesus' response to Peter, which was quite harsh, "Get behind me, Satan, you do not have the things in mind of God, but the things of humans." Now Jesus says to his disciples, he gives them three instructions, "If anyone would come to me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." So we have these three things: deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. What do they mean for you and I in this century? Denying ourselves. I think we could go back to looking at Peter. Jesus has to deny himself and allow himself to be crucified on the cross in order to be raised again, in order to overcome sin and death, in order for you and I to have life. The disciples had to deny themselves because they had to give up their families and their lives to follow Jesus for those 3 years and learn from Jesus. We don't know what happened after that. They probably went back to their families, and as they traveled around, maybe they took their families with them. But what we do know is that for 3 years, they gave up their lives to follow Jesus. And what we can't understand, perhaps, is that for all of us, there is a part, maybe it's something we don't like to understand. There are things that we need to give up in order to follow Jesus more closely. We need to not only do what we want, but we need to first, as I said, discern what God wants. And that might mean not doing some of the things we want to do. So for you and I, maybe it means that we need to, perhaps I need to give up watching my favorite program on TV and spend that time in prayer. That might be what's called for, so that I have that discernment when I go out the next day. Perhaps it means giving up an hour of sleep, denying myself that sleep. So for me, that's what it is, denying yourself. And as I said earlier, it's about making the small I within us become smaller so that the big I, God within us, can become bigger. Now let's look at Jesus saying, "Follow me." What does Jesus mean when he says that we need to follow him? And for me, it's a way of radical inclusive love. It is living a life of forgiving others all the time, in a constant state of forgiveness, and asking others for forgiveness where we have transgressed. It's a life of extending grace to others, seeing other people, reaching out the marginalized, paying forward in our lives, if you like, giving to other people, and making sure that God is always first in our lives. And that's just a few things we need to do. Then Jesus goes on to say that forever who wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And I want to look at this for a moment. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. I don't believe here that Jesus is talking about death, although of course we do know that the disciples died for Jesus. We need to submit our whole lives to Jesus, and when we do, we truly live. For me, that is what Jesus promises us when he says abundant life. We only really experience that when we are completely submitted to Jesus, when we are submissive to Jesus and allowing Jesus to move in power in our lives, when we're moving in the flow of God and living according to God's will, then we are truly moving in the power of God and experiencing that divine love. That's when we are fully alive. We live, and we can also be like Paul, who said, if I am in God, if I'm in Jesus, whether I live or die makes no difference. Because if I live with Christ. If I die, I die with Christ. That for me is the ultimate, where we're sort of aiming for, to be in that place where we are fully submissive to God. Jesus then issues a warning and says, what good is it for a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And I sit down with so many people, rich and poor, as they pass from this life to the next. And the one thing that strikes me over and over again, and it's changing me, it really is changing me, is that there is nothing that they take with them except their experiences and their relationships and what they've experienced in those relationships and how they've grown, how their soul's grown. And it is so much easier for them to pass from this life to the next if they know God. You just see a completely different experience of peace as they leave this world and move into the next with God. And of course, that is the most important thing. The answer is, our souls are far more important than anything else. And therefore, we need to give more time to God and that relationship with God and to nurturing our souls, if you like, in God. Just being in God's presence, being aware of God's presence. The last thing I want to do is say that Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. And maybe that is part of the denying. Picking up your cross might be, Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he had to carry. And he said, if I have to carry it, I have to carry it. We don't know what it was. But there's often something that we need to carry. Maybe by following Jesus, it's caused some division in the family. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, pick it up and follow me. He's not saying that when we follow him, everything will be absolutely perfect. But I do know that when we follow Jesus, we do come fully alive and experience life in all its fullness. And that is the most amazing blessing. And when it is our turn to pass from this life to the next, we do so in the presence of God, whom we already know, God who is love. So today, as we look at the whole of this reading, we have Peter saying Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I asked you perhaps when you first knew that for a fact in your life. And have you ever confessed that? Jesus, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Christ. And what that means for us. And then we go on to look at what that means for us. It means that sometimes we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus in the way of radical inclusive love. And we need to make sure that our priorities are right, that God is number one in our lives, because it doesn't help us to gain the whole world, but to lose our souls. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. May God bless you as you continue on this journey with God, learning each and every day how to live in relationship with God, moving more fully in the power of God. To wrap up this morning, a new commandment I give unto you and tell out my soul. Thanks for listening. God bless. And if you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.